program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include Wake Hope's Job Fair Brings in More School Bus Drivers, and How Does Your Favorite Local Grocery Compare for Prices? And we'll begin with Wake Hope's Job Fair Brings in More School Bus Drivers. Parents and students are feeling the impact of the Wake County school system's difficulty in recruiting full-time school bus drivers. The Wake County school system has added more students, schools, and bus routes this fall, but has fewer full-time bus drivers than it did at the end of last school year. It's forcing the district to rely more on substitute drivers and supervisors to handle the vacant positions. We are in worse condition already this year than we were at the end of last year, Bob Snidemiller, Wake's Senior Director of Transportation, told school board members this week. The school system held a bus driver job fair on Tuesday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Carroll Middle School in Raleigh. People with questions can call 919-694-8484. Wake, like other school districts in North Carolina and nationally, is facing a bus driver shortage, the challenge of dealing with dozens of students while also receiving low pay, especially compared with other jobs that also require a commercial driver's license, make it difficult to recruit and keep school bus drivers. Wake school officials have said a full-time starting school bus driver makes $13.11 an hour for $17,043 annually. Compared with a full-time Go Triangle bus driver who starts at $15 an hour and makes $31,250 annually. Wake has increased marketing efforts in the past few years to recruit more drivers. Wake had 881 drivers in the 2013-14 school year, but that figure has steadily declined, forcing the district to make changes to deal with having fewer buses on the road. Routes have been redrawn, students have to walk further to reach a bus stop, and the buses themselves are more crowded. Wake ended last school year with 720 full-time bus drivers. The number is now down to 713 drivers for the 765 daily bus routes. David Netter, Wake's chief operating officer, told the school board that there are 25 driver vacancies in the five Western Wake transportation districts. Wake has 72 substitute drivers who are primarily supposed to fill in when a driver is absent, but more are being asked to drive regular routes. The district has also put bus operations team leaders behind the wheel instead of having them in the office supervising the drivers. The lack of drivers is part of the reason that Wake structures school start times so that the individual buses can make multiple runs in the morning and afternoon. Wake has high schools on the first run at 7:25 a.m. and elementary schools on the last at 9:15 a.m. The bell schedules have drawn complaints from parents who say high school should start later so that teens get more sleep and that elementary school should begin earlier to make it easier to arrange childcare. School board member Chris Haggerty told his colleagues that they'll need to consider the driver shortage as they work on next year's budget. It is better for more kids to ride the bus versus more kids in carpool lanes versus the feasibility of older kids taking advantage of mass transportation options, Hagerty said at this week's Finance Committee meeting. I'm just really trying to see what's going to be better for the district in terms of saving money, in terms of liability. And next, how does your favorite local grocery compare for prices? In case anyone was ever unsure, the reactions to last year's Kroger closures and last month's Wegmans opening laid all doubts to rest. People around here are passionate about their favorite grocery stores. With Wegmans' September 29th grand opening on Wake Forest Road in Raleigh, the chain's first store in North Carolina, the total number of traditional grocery chains in the Triangle hit 16. That's right, 16. And that's if you don't count Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and Family Dollar, which market research company Chain Store Guide does, and if you set membership warehouse stores, Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's, in their own separate category. According to Chain Store Guide research for April 2019, Walmart and Food Lion are nearly tied in market share across demographics that include Wake, Durham, Orange, Johnston, Chatham, Person, and Franklin counties, with Harris Teeter coming in third. How all of that shifts over the next few years with at least four more Wegmans stores scheduled to enter the market, we'll have to wait and see. Roger Beam, the executive director for the Center for Retail Innovation at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, says the competition from Wegmans essentially keeps all grocers on their toes. Other grocery retailers have been anticipating this moment for some time, Beam said. Many have already taken steps to shore up their customer loyalty and defend their franchises against this formidable competitor. Upgrading in-store environments, positioning themselves around low prices, introducing higher quality private brands, and launching click and collect as well as home delivery options are just some of the ways local retailers have been working to defend against this inevitable day. The question is, of course, will it be enough? True to Beam's point, when we visited the Harris Teeter on Edwards Mill Road in Raleigh to do some price checking, the store was in the middle of revamping its produce department and was in the early stages of adding an Asian food bar to its prepared food area. But Beam says even shoppers satisfied with their current stores are likely to check out Wegmans as they did when Publix entered the market in 2014. In spite of high satisfaction levels with their current retailer, curiosity alone will drive many to try the new entrant, Beam said. And experience shows that once there's trial, there's going to be some conversion. Not everyone will change shopping loyalty, of course, but the better the new experience, the greater the likelihood of switching. Which store to pick? Kim Hill Gramslick of Cary is curious about Wegmans, but says she isn't likely to change her current shopping habits. Wegmans doesn't change anything for me, Gramslick said. I would be interested in checking it out if I were in the general area because so many of my out-of-state friends speak highly of it. But ultimately, I'm a convenient shopper. I live close to about half a dozen other grocery stores. I'm very blessed to not live in a food desert, unlike so many other underserved areas in our state. In the meantime, all those stores mean shoppers in most neighborhoods have unprecedented variety. That is sometimes exhilarating, but sometimes overwhelming. Which stores have the best prices? Which have the best selection? Where can you get everything in one stop? Or is it best to drive from store to store hitting sales? We decided to tackle a corner of the grocery puzzle with a price comparison study. Here is what we did. We came up with a list of 38 items to price check. 18 of those are popular name brand items, such as Oreos. Another 10 are items that people seem to frequently buy in the store brand version, eggs, milk, and another 8 are produce items, a mixture of regular and organic. Then we tossed in a fresh baguette from the bakery and some chicken breast. We shopped 16 grocery store chains, the major ones like Harris Teeter, Food Lion, and Walmart, as well as discount stores like Aldi and Lidl, and specialty stores like Sprouts Farmer Market and Weaver Street Market, and in each case we shopped Raleigh locations. Almost all of our price checks were done last week, October 8th through 11th, with a couple of missing items added this week. Here's the controversial part. We only recorded regular prices, no sale prices. We decided this was the only way to do a fair comparison across the board, since sales are fleeting. We know dedicated Harris Teeter shoppers will point out that the store's Vic deals lower their shopping bills drastically, but sometimes you just have to buy stuff when it's not on sale. And we also know that many consumers shop several stores over the course of a week, catching the best sales to stock up on things they want. But even so, comparing regular prices put everyone on a more level playing field for the purposes of this comparison. We should also note that not all stores had all of the products on our list. For example, Trader Joe's doesn't carry in any of the name brand items we looked for, and stores like Aldi and Lidl carry very few. In a couple of cases, the store carried the items, but a small version that didn't match the items on our list. In two cases, when we felt it was fair to do so, we used a per-ounce calculation, and this was necessary for shredded cheese and frozen peas because of the lack of consistent sizing. There were also times when the stores carried the items, eggs for instance, but only an organic, cage-free, fair trade version that understandably jacks up the price. That's why you may not see eggs in our database for a store like Sprouts or Weaver Street Market when you know those stores do sell eggs. We just didn't think the cost comparison would be fair. Another thing to keep in mind is that prices within the same chain could be different in different neighborhoods. For example, Oscar Mayer bacon was $5.99 at the Target in Briar Creek. But when we were in the North Hills Target the next day to check produce prices, we noticed the same bacon for $6.99. So if the prices at your store do not match the prices we found, that could be why, or the prices could have changed. Many local stores are continuously checking each other and making adjustments. What did we find? Well, in a nutshell, we found out that overall, Walmart has the largest selection and lowest prices. But we also found that Wegmans, at least in the products that we researched, had lower prices than Food Lion, Harris Teeter, Lowe's, and Publix on nearly every single item. Again, those are regular prices. In many cases, Wegmans even matched or came very close to the super low price stores like Aldi, Lidl, and Walmart on items like eggs, butter, and milk. Of course, we had no way to factor in the quality of the shopping experience, the warmth of that friendly cashier at your neighborhood store, the nostalgia of shopping a chain you've known for years, or the excitement of knowing dinner is going home with you from the Asian food bar. That's the X factor you'll have to bring into the equation. News and Observer subscribers have access to an interactive database of the price-checked items at the 16 grocery stores. Find it at nando.com/groceries. See how your favorite store compares. You can view prices item by item or look at all items by store. And remember, when looking at store totals, that not all stores carry every single item we checked. Next, U.S. trade talks leave global economy stuck with uncertainty. President Donald Trump's trade truce with China may have temporarily cooled tensions between the world's two largest economies, but the damage from Trump's aggressive approach to trade policy will continue to weigh on the global economy. The agreement in principle with China, which has yet to be finalized, would not roll back the hundreds of billions of dollars of tariffs that China and the U.S. have placed on each other's products. Trump is also escalating his trade fight on other fronts, including slapping higher tariffs on Turkey and preparing to tax $7.5 billion worth of wine, cheese, aircraft, and other European goods. His administration will decide next month whether to impose tariffs on cars imported from Europe and other countries. Recently, Trump has dangled the possibility of additional tariffs on the European Union if the bloc is unwilling to reduce the trade imbalance between the United States and the EU. I could solve the problem instantly, but it would be too hard. It'd be too harsh. It would involve tariffs on European products coming into this country. And for right now, we're going to try and do it without that. But that would solve the problem instantly because the United States is not being treated fairly, Trump said during a news conference with the Italian president. Trump has defended his unpredictable approach, saying it has created leverage and elicited trade concessions from China, Mexico, Japan, and others. The administration has now signed limited deals with South Korea and Japan and is awaiting congressional approval of a revised North American Free Trade Agreement. But those gains have come at a cost. Trump's tariffs have raised prices for businesses, uprooted global supply chains, and created crippling uncertainty for companies, delaying investment and hiring. The pain has spread beyond the United States and China, exacerbating a global economic slowdown, particularly in Europe. Economists warn the damage is likely to outlast any interim trade deal with China. Last week, retail sales in the United States fell for the first time in 7 months as consumers slowed spending, particularly on autos. U.S. manufacturing is already in recession, and factories around the world are slowing production. In new forecasts, the International Monetary Fund lowered its expectations for global growth in 2019 to 3%, the lowest rate since the financial crisis. The fund attributed much of the damage to rising trade barriers and trade uncertainty, which it blamed for reducing investment and demand for machinery and equipment. The major risk to the global economy is a further escalation in trade and geopolitical tensions, said Jita Gopinath, director of the research department at the International Monetary Fund. This can derail an already fragile recovery in emerging and developing economies and in the euro area. Earlier this month, the World Trade Organization said that global trade in merchandise is expected to expand by only 1.2% during 2019, in what would be the weakest year since 2009. David Malpass, president of the World Bank, said the bank would likely lower its growth outlook below previous estimates of 2.6%. He declined to discuss trade negotiations between the United States and China specifically, but acknowledged that trade uncertainty remains a drag on the global economy, along with the possibility of a hard Brexit resulting from Britain's plan to leave the EU. There could be reason for optimism, he said, if there can be a reduction in uncertainty and more clarity on the outlook of trade, and that includes U.S.-China trade, but that also includes the global trade environment itself. Not all of the negative economic effects are a result of the trade war. A credit slowdown in China and weakness in Europe are also weighing on trade and growth. But policymakers said Trump's trade policies could help tip the global economy into recession. The Federal Reserve has begun cutting interest rates to try to insulate the U.S. economy against the effects of Trump's trade war. But officials have warned their power is limited and that economic damage is likely to persist, particularly if uncertainty continues and tariffs remain in effect. Trump and his advisors have attributed any slowdown in growth to troubles overseas and not the trade war, and the administration continues to insist that China is paying the cost of the tariffs, not the U.S., businesses, or consumers. Trump has also argued that Beijing has offset some of the tariff pain by weakening its currency to make its goods cheaper overseas. But a new paper by researchers at Harvard University, the University of Chicago, and the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston suggests that businesses and consumers in the United States are feeling an impact from the trade fight and that the pain could escalate. Examining the prices paid at the border, researchers found that almost all of the tariffs cost is being passed on from businesses in China to U.S. importers. When it comes to the prices of these goods at U.S. stores, however, they find the evidence is more mixed, suggesting retailers are absorbing at least some of the cost of the tariffs, at least temporarily, by reducing their profit margins rather than passing the entire cost of the tariff on to their customers. The study also examines the effects of the tariffs that China has put on U.S. products in retaliation. It shows that U.S. businesses have had less success passing on the cost of those tariffs to Chinese importers, likely because of the types of goods being sold. While China can easily swap Brazilian soybeans for U.S. ones, the type of specialized consumer goods that China sells into the United States, like laptops and smartphones, are harder to substitute. Researchers said that additional cost could be passed on to U.S. consumers in the months ahead. It suggests the real possibility that what the country has experienced so far is really only the short-run response to these tariffs, said Brent Neiman, an economist at the University of Chicago. Next, Pizzeria is part of Downtown Cary Project. Cary developer Chatham Street Commercial purchased a strip shopping center last month for almost $2.4 million, with plans to renovate it to fit the new look of modern downtown Cary, while adding a touch of Brooklyn. One of the new tenants in the renovated space will be a spinoff from an iconic New York City pizzeria, De Farah Pizza, which has been open in Brooklyn since 1965. The New Yorker, the New York Times, Zagat's, and the late chef Anthony Bourdain have all called De Farah the best pizza in New York. This will be the restaurant's first East Coast location outside of New York City, confirmed Greg Norton, nephew of De Farah, founder of Dom DeMarco. Norton and his wife moved to Cary 4 years ago. "We ended up loving the area downtown Cary," Norton said. "We knew we wanted to open up a restaurant. My cousin Michelangelo, the first son of Dom DeMarco, him and I decided to open up a restaurant." The new De Farah Pizza, slated for early 2020, will be both a tavern and a pizzeria and will be a separate brand from the original restaurant, though serving pizza in the same family style. Next, Dame's Chicken and Waffles opening in Chapel Hill. For a different town, expect a different sort of Dame's Chicken and Waffles. The popular Durham restaurant is adding a fourth location in Chapel Hill, potentially as early as the end of this year. Dame's is best known for crispy fried chicken served with waffles and flavored butters called schmears. It might also be known as the brunch place you couldn't get into for years, with wait stretching well over an hour for weekend crowds. Dame's is opening a new location in the former Bieske's on Chapel Hill's Franklin Street. After a lengthy permitting process, signage went up this month and construction is underway, said Randy Wadsworth, co-owner of Dame's with Damian Moore. Wadsworth said the restaurant could open by the end of 2019 if there are no delays. For the Chapel Hill location, Dame's is trying a new concept. Instead of a sit-down restaurant, this one will be counter service, Wadsworth said, in a move more in line with the rest of Franklin Street's fast casual spots. Diners will place their orders at a counter by the kitchen and then wait at tables for the food to be prepared. It's something we're going to play around with, Wadsworth said. It's the first space where we've had the opportunity to try it out. We wanted more grab-and-go options. Those grab-and-go options could even include a chicken sandwich, seemingly the red-hot menu item sweeping the triangle right now. Dame's opened on Main Street in Durham 2010 and became one of the city's most popular restaurants, often featured in out-of-town magazine roundups of where to eat. Other locations opened in Cary, Greensboro, and in 2018, Dame's closed its original Durham location to move to a larger restaurant space, leaving the city without chicken and waffles for more than a year. The Chapel Hill location was announced earlier this year, joining a competitive Franklin Street market that can feel like a revolving door. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.